This morning, I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm still, somehow I pulled up Wednesday night here on my iPad. Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I want us to read the 7th through the 10th verse. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, beginning with verse 7. What other nation is so great to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? That is just a phenomenal question. That is a phenomenal question within itself. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near to them the way the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws that I'm sitting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you shall live. Here's the focal point this morning. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. That's children and grandchildren. I almost said kids again. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. Remember the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when He said to me, "Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children." Can I go back and read that last series of sentences? Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, and when He said to me, "Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children." I want to preach to you this morning with the thought in mind of stewarding the next generation. Stewarding the next generation. Now, if I had introduced this message and if I'd have put it up that I was going to preach on stewardship, there's probably a lot of people that just wouldn't come because they would say that preacher's going to be preaching on money this morning. Stewardship often is equated with giving and money, and certainly there is something to be said there. There is messages to be preached on financial giving and stewardship and being good stewards of everything that God's given us. But you see, God's given us more than finances. Some people in this room have more finances than others. Some people have bigger homes than others. Some people have more material things than other people have. But no matter if God has given us a whole lot or if He's just given us just a little bit, He has actually instructed us, and biblically we are taught to be good stewards over whatever God has given us. We saw that in the parables, you know, as the different men were given gifts, they were to be good stewards of the gift. The one that did nothing with his gift lost his gift to the one that did the most. The stewarding is defined as conducting, supervising, or managing something, and in that, God has appointed us steward over many things. We are stewards, even as we read from the scripture this morning. Of course, we're looking at the law as was given Moses, but we are stewards of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He has given this message to us, but it's up to us how we handle it, how we manage it, how we invest it, if you would. We're stewards over the creation. Now, I'm not turned into a tree hugger, okay? But when we go back and we read Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, we are indeed given over. It was given unto mankind to dress the earth, to care for the earth. We are set as stewards over the creation that God has given us. Okay? We are to be stewards over our time and our talents. You know, God has given you a talent, and that doesn't necessarily mean picking a guitar or playing the piano or the drums or even singing. But God has given you a talent. Your talent may be as an encourager, but God has given you time. He's given all of us time. That is one thing we all have the exact same amount of, the same quantity of is time. God has called us, or He's set us over stewards of our time and our talents. God has called us to be stewards over the words that we speak. And out of our tongues are sort of like our cell phones. You know, our cell phones, you know, on our cell phone is where you can look up you can go on to this little thing that says Bible Gateway. That's what I use anyway. My wife uses the Bible app. You can go on your phone and you can pull up all kind of Bible stuff and devotionals and all like that. But if you're not real careful, you can also get on images and things that you shouldn't be seeing or shouldn't be looking at. Out of our tongues, there can be things that come out of our mouths, across our tongues, that do less than glorify God, if you get what I'm saying. But yet out of our tongue is where we see the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit that we as Pentecostals look at as the initial evidence of the infilling of the Spirit. Isn't it a little bit of a paradox how God uses the tongue, the unruly member of the body, to bring Him glory? Isn't that weird? We also are called to be stewards over our health. You know, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to find me in a gym. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to find, listen, if you see me running down the side of the road and it's probably not going to be running, it's probably going to be a jog at the best for maybe 100 yards at the most. You could rest assured one of those bears that's been getting on the back porch at my house is probably chasing me, okay? But yet we're called to be stewards over our health. We're called to be stewards, of course, I mentioned finances already, and so much more. So stewardship is most often considered necessary when something is of significant value. That's where stewardship comes into play. Something that is highly esteemed, if you would. The one commodity, and you probably already figured this out, that I failed to mention in that list of things of extreme worth is the worth of our children. You'd say, I don't have children. Well, your church has children, bless God. If you've been here more than twice, this is your church, and we have children. That's the commodity that I have not named, and children are very important. They are important to God, and they are important to the church, and hopefully they're important to you. If they're not, by the time we get to the end of this week or next week, I hope that children hold an important place in your life. To illustrate how important children are to God, I want to offer you all a couple references. Psalms 127 in verse number 3. The psalmist wrote, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now I know my mother felt that way about me. She cried when she saw me when she found out I wasn't twins. At least that's what I've been told. Then in Matthew chapter 18, we find that Jesus, at the time when the disciples came to Jesus and asked who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, they were worried about who among them was greatest. He called a little child to come to Him, placed the child on His lap, and He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So do you see the value, the biblical value that God puts on children? You and I, the church, have a stewardship role to play in something that is of great worth. And what I'm talking about this morning is our children. So we have the responsibility, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, a guardian of some sort, maybe you're fostering. Whatever the case may be, even if you're just a church member or a church attender, we have the responsibility of stewarding the next generation. I want to share with you, as we steward the next generation, I want to share with you a few things, a handful of things that we have the responsibility of doing. The first thing that we have the responsibility of is loving them. Now listen, all children are not easy to love. I understand that. I realize that. Some of them, you would like to hang them up by their toenails and wait for them to dry out, you know, so to speak, okay? I understand that. I know that's not your child, because your child certainly is not that kind of child, you know. But there are children that are like it. Because children are a reward from the Lord, and we already established that in the Word, because they are a reward from the Lord, that means that they are to be cherished and loved because they're valued. They're valued by God, and if something's valued by God, then certainly it is to be valued by us. That is why we are assigned to be stewards over our children. Every child needs to know that they are loved. They need to feel, not only to feel, but to experience love from dads, moms, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, cousins, school teachers, church family, whoever it is. Every child needs to feel love. It may be a surprise to you, but most, and those of you that work in the school system, we're going to pray for you this morning as well before we dismiss. But when you work in the school system, or you work like Sarah and I have for many, many years with summer youth camps, even if you work as children's church and youth church here in your local church, you find out rather quickly that all children do not feel loved at home. And while it's not up to me or the church to replace the home, it is up to us to love those children, even when that, especially when they are not feeling loved at home. Because children are worthy, they merit our love. You don't have to be a grandparent or a parent to love a child. You can be that extended relative, that school teacher, a coach, a bus driver, a church staffer. The fact is that you may just be a neighbor. Sarah talks every once in a while when she and her siblings get, when they all get together, they talk about some woman or that lived down the street from them, and they all just went over to her house, and she always had them biscuits or something to eat. Even though they weren't her children, she was there for them, and they remember her, and she has impacted her life. And you know those teachers that I had when I was in school, the ones that loved me, like Sister Mary Lambert, she's long gone on to be with the Lord. I remember Miss Lambert very dearly. I was the teacher's pet. Of course I would remember her. She showed me, she displayed love to me. And she showed me, not that I wasn't loved at home, but she just displayed that kind of love to me. So we love our children. We love them with a godlike love. A godlike love means that there's no strings attached. We went through this a few weeks ago in life groups in a series that we were doing. A godlike love, there's no strings attached. We talked about it in life groups over the last several weeks. There's no strings attached to a godlike love. A love that can always be counted on. Our children need to be able to count on the love that we have for them. Now, the love that we have for them does not always mean that they are pleasing to us. The love that we have to them doesn't always mean, it doesn't mean that they haven't stuck their hands in the, you know, for me when I was little, the love my mother had for me does not mean that I did not stick my hands in the pies after she had made them to see. But the love for me did not mean I come in and allowed the screen door, because we didn't have storm doors, I allowed the screen door to slam when she had a cake in the oven and I had made her cake fall. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? Her love for me was not based on I walked across her floors after she had just mopped them and they were still wet. Okay? I did not always make my mother happy in spite of what you probably think about me. but yet she loved me. And you see, that is the kind of love. The reason that's the kind of love that we show our children is because that's the kind of love that God has shown us. Because I want to tell you something. All of you all are not good sons and daughters to God. I'm not a good son to God. Certainly not a daughter. But I'm not a good son to God. Sometimes I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I disappoint Him. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I walked across His floors after He's just mopped them, if you get my drift. I know for a fact. But yet, He loves me. Even though He might not always be pleased with me. It's a love that is not performance based. If you've got a way on your kids to, if your kid has to be the best football player on the football team and for you to love him, listen, you're messed up. If your love for your daughter has to be, she has to be the best girl on the girls' basketball team for you to love her, then your love is messed up. True love for our children is not merited on the way they perform, whether it's a sport or anything else in our life. That is really not a godlike love. Even when a child misbehaves, even when they're unruly, even when they went wayward. And let me tell you something, young moms and dads here this morning, and young means 40 and under, okay? Young moms and dads here this morning, let me tell you something. Right now, the years that you are in right now, raising and rearing your children are some of the easiest parental years you will ever have in your life. Because it's much harder to deal with your kids after they get grown and get hard-headed, because that's where some of you all are at right now. My son's never been in trouble. He's never been in jail. In fact, he puts people in jail. That's his job. But the reality of it is, it's harder to be a parent to an almost 40-year-old than it is to be a parent when he was 14 years old. But I still love him. In spite of the, sometimes, it just don't fit. The second thing that we want to consider in parental stewardship is train them. Train them. There's a scripture that says the time to bend a branch is while it's young. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child the way he should go, and even when he grows older, he will not abandon it. That is a verse of wisdom. It's not necessarily a prophetic verse, but it is a verse of wisdom. Train a child while he's young. Biblical training. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." We love that part, don't we? We love that part. We thrive on that verse of scripture. "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak of them when you sit down in your house." Hello. When you walk down the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Every waking moment of the day, you are to be engraving and indulging your children. You're to be putting every ounce of the word in them that you possibly can. You know, one thing that just don't float my boat, okay? It's when especially a Christian parent says, "Well, I think I need to give my child a right to choose." They do have a right to choose, but you better be putting the word of God in their life. Because let me tell you something. There is a satanic spirit that was released upon this earth at the fall of humanity that is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And you think they're not after your son or your daughter? You're sadly mistaken, because the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. You engrave in their heart. You give them scriptures to memorize. You stick scriptures up on their bathroom mirror. You put scriptures on your refrigerator. If when they're old enough to drive, you stick scriptures up in their car. You give them the scripture at every opportunity that you can. You give them that, then let them make their decision. But it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to give them that scripture. Let me finish reading. He said in verse 8, Deuteronomy chapter 6, okay? Verse 7, I'll go back and read. And you shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak to them when you sit in your house, when you walk down the road, when you lie down, when you get up. You shall also tie them as a sign to your hand. There you go, sticky notes everywhere. And shall be as frontlets on your forehead. And you shall also write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You are, listen, moms and dads, especially if your children are under 18 years old, we use that word 18 wherever we came up with that number for whatever reason, but you pour scripture into your kids. It's your responsibility. God has made that your responsibility. Give them the word in public. Give them the word in the home. Not only give them the word, but listen to me very carefully. Don't only give them the word, but live the word out in front of them. An old friend of mine, he's passed away many years now, and he raised two boys. And their daddy, he was a rounder. He was a rounder. I liked him. He was a good old boy, just like Bo and Luke Duke. He was a good old boy. But he never walked a Christian walk in front of his sons. But yet he wanted his sons to live a Christian life. He said, I don't want my boys to do as I do. I just want them to do as I say it to do. Well, let me tell you something. It don't work that way. You can't live like the devil and expect your kids to follow Jesus. Okay? We can't. I told Sarah, I said, I'm liable to make half the congregation mad today with this message. I let her read it earlier in the week. I said, is this too rough? She said, no, I think you need to preach it. So not only give them the word, but live out the word. It might get rougher as we go. Can y'all see that yellow? Yeah, it shows up fairly good. Thirdly is we have, in being stewardships over our children, we have the responsibility to protect them. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back. I haven't finished up training them. When we train them, we should be teaching children to be respectful and obedient. We live in a culture that tends to reject authority. And we have a generation, and it's progressively getting worse with each passing generation. It's just not about the children that we have now, but we have generation after generation that's coming up that resists being given direction or being told what to do. Okay? Manners like yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir, thank you, no thank you, please, and you're welcome are nearly extinct. It bugs me to go in a store and one of these younger people to wait on me and not even to say thank you after I've made my purchase or whatever I'm doing. They act like they're doing me a big favor by being, you know, I just took your money. I just did you a favor. It bugs me when old people do that too, by the way. Okay. Bugged Sarah the other day when she went into a certain store and she paid with cash, and then the girl didn't even know how to count back change out of a $20 bill, wasn't it? But that's on down another rabbit trail. But we need to be teaching them. We need to be teaching them, in a Christian aspect. We need to be teaching them manners. As a result, we're witnessing a decline in generations that is increasingly defiant to school staff. Tony back there just retired from being a resource officer, correct? Yeah. Why do we have to have cops in our schools? There wasn't no cop in my school. Miss Ward had a paddle about that long and had about 12 holes down it. In the shape of a W. Okay? Let me tell you something. If I had a choice between coming up against Tony Buzzo or Miss Ward, give me Tony Buzzo anytime. But we have a responsibility there, and to teach them. And as a result, we have not done that. We are failing in that. And it's not occurring just now. It's been occurring slowly. We've been eroding over generations. And even in that whole sense, we see a lack of respect not only for the school systems, but we see a lack of respect for parents. And I know this is not making you want to shout, okay? But let me tell you something. When you fail to teach parental respect in your home, you are in defiance to the Word of God. When you fail to teach parental respect in your home, you're defying Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 16. For there the Bible says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may be well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. You are robbing your children, of the fullness of the blessing of God when you fail to teach them to honor you as your mom and your dad. Or your guardian, or whatever else you may be. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, just simply for no other reason, the Apostle Paul said, for this is right. Wow. Y'all can go ahead and shout me down if you want to. But I'm just giving you the word. Okay? I want to give you an illustration, a story illustration that I found. I found this on the internet. It says there was a father and a rebellious son. And the father said, as long as you live in this house, you will follow the rules. When you have your own house, you can make your own rules. But in this house, understand, we do not have a democracy. I did not campaign to be your father, and you did not vote for me. We are father and son by the grace of God, and I accepted that privilege and that awesome responsibility, and I'm accepting it, and I have an obligation to perform the role of the father. I am not your pal. I'm not your best buddy. I am your daddy. And being your daddy exceeds being your buddy by far. Sure, I'm your friend, but we're on an entirely different levels. I'm the head of the house, and whatever I ask of you is motivated by my love that is for you, and we're just going to have to trust me the rest of the journey. Now you say, boy, that sounds harsh. But do you know what? That is a description of the relationship that we should have with Jesus Christ as God our Father. He chose me. I didn't get to choose Him. I was adopted into the family of God. Listen, boys and girls, and they're all in children's church, they need to understand the role of mama and daddy, parent, guardian, teacher, or whoever it is that serves over them. Okay? It's biblical. It's godly. It will add years to their life. The business, I see too much business of kids ruling mama and daddy. When kids are telling you what to do, the roles are reversed. And things are messed up. Moms and dads, guardians, aunts, uncles, brothers, older brothers, cousins, whatever it is. Whoever is in charge of child rearing, we have a responsibility. Not just to God, which is the most important, but we have a responsibility to the children that we're overseeing. To raise them in the admonition of God and in faith. Our society has got things really messed up. Protectors of the children. I got to hurry up. Protectors of the children. The head of the house carries the larger responsibility, as I just got done saying. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for the house, those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you read that same verse of scripture and you read it from the King James Version, it doesn't use the word unbeliever, it uses the word infidel. And let me tell you what you don't want to be is an infidel. Okay? So there is a parental responsibility to rule over how. Now we looked at that and we've always taken that scripture. That means somebody needs to have a job earning money to support their household. And certainly that does apply. But there is more to overseeing the household than making the money for the household. There is a responsibility that we have to oversee the household. And when we are failing to oversee our household, then we are, in fact, what the scripture says, don't argue with me, argue with the apostle Paul and what he wrote in his letter to Timothy, you're worse than an infidel. Infidel is a non-believer. It's a skeptic, non-believer. Non-believing in God. Wow. And then fourthly, I've already pretty much covered it. It's introducing them. Introducing them to Christ. You know what? We should know where, when, and what about our kids. We should know where they are, when they're there, and we should know what they're doing while they're there. We should know who their friends are. And we should know what's going on these right here. Because there's more on here than the Bible Gateway and the Bible app. Actually, a whole lot more. We should know what's happening in our kids' bedroom when they've got the door shut. In fact, I'd say take the door off. That's right. Amen. You be amen to me again when you're a teenager, won't you? Yes. We should know what they're looking at on their computer. We should know what they're watching on their videos. We should, listen, our job is stewards to protect and watch over and guard our children. And I know this is hard for us sometimes, especially as parents. This is hard because we have seen that eroding of generations. We buy alarm systems for our houses. We've got guns. Probably half the guys sitting in this room this morning is packing. Some of the women's got them in your pocketbook right now. It's all right. We buy alarm systems. We buy guns. We buy bike helmets. Listen, I know because we doing youth camp like we do youth camp. Sarah and I, we soak them with sunscreen because we want to prevent skin cancer. We got 100 SPF now that we just saturate them with that because we don't want them to get skin. We do all kinds of things to protect our kids. We buckle them up when they're in the car. We even put the Apple Air tracking devices on their car. But let me tell you something. All of those things are good and well in their place. But listen, the greatest defense that we can exercise over our children is to defend them in prayer and introduce them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And His name is Jesus Christ. And all too often, parents don't like to think about their children being lost. I don't want to think about my son dying lost. He bears a testimony of faith. So I don't worry too much. I don't worry at all about it, actually. I don't want him to be lost. That out of all the things in the world that you should be worrying about, your kids will experience. All the things in the world that could happen to them. All of the bad stuff that's out there, God forbid, none of it happens to them. You might worry about them flunking out of college. You may worry about this happening or that happening. Let me tell you something. The greatest concern that we should have in our life over our children is that they leave this world lost, not knowing Jesus Christ, because eternity is permanent. Who cares if you can make more money laying brick than most people go make going to college now anyway. Who cares if they flunk out of college? Who cares if they get cut from the ball team? Who cares about that stuff? The main thing is that they don't leave this world without Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. We don't like to think about our kids being lost, but the fact of the matter is, once a child reaches an age of understanding, it's not, that's not 12 years old, 14 years old, or even 18 years old. Once they achieve the understanding of what it means to be saved, to be born again, they are accountable for their souls. They're accountable for their relationship with God. But you and I are accountable to be good stewards as their parents. Consider this. Consider this. If your kids went out in the woods to play, that's what I used to play. I had a hatchet on one side and I had a Bowie knife on the other side and my Red Ryder BB gun in my hand. Okay? But if your kids went out in the woods to play, but they hadn't returned home, Pam and Scott have a pond down behind their house, or across the road from their house, down behind their neighbors. If your kids went out to play, went down to the pond to play or to go fishing, and it's past dark 30 and hadn't come home, what would you and Scott have done? I know what you would have done. She calls herself Mama Bear. Mama Bear would have been on the prowl. She'd have been looking, wouldn't you? Yeah. Listen, if your kids went out to wood and play and they hadn't returned phone, our phones would be blurting out Amber Alerts. Named after a little girl named Amber that went missing. We'd be looking for our kids. We would want to know where they're at because they're lost. First responders would be on the scene. There would be fire trucks. There would be rescue squads. There would be sheriff's departments. There would be state police. There would be tactical teams. They would be looking. Family members would be going through the brush, be hollering and looking and be prodding along with sticks and lights on their heads and all kind of through the darkness. They would be looking behind every bush and under every rock. We would be looking for that child that is lost. The rain, the sleet, the snow, the hail, the burning sun, the desert heat couldn't stop us from finding our child that is lost. But listen, do we have that same urgency about our children being spiritually lost? Sobering question, isn't it? Do we have that same urgency about our children being lost? Every first line, the first line goal, the main goal of every parent, every guardian, every church member as far as that concerned, every school teacher, every Sunday school teacher, every bus driver, our main goal should be to give Jesus to every child that we possibly can. One way or another. One way or another. And let me tell you, I know it's tough in school systems. I drove the bus for a while. And I know you have to be careful how you do it. But let me tell you something, it can be done. You share and you display Jesus in every opportunity that you can get. Scott, where's Scott at? I lost Scott. Scott, go ahead and bring the kids back in, would you please, sir? And listen to this. It should be our aim to bring every children into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The church, that's us. You say, "My pastor, I don't have any children. Or my children's all grown." You look around you, you're about to see a bunch of them march into this room here in just about 2 minutes. Although parents and guardians are primarily the responsible party in serving as stewards over children, I want you to understand the church has responsibility as well. And we're going to exercise that responsibility this morning. Let me brag on student ministries in this church. Chase and Haley and Heath and Madison. They do everything they can to pour into the children that walk through the doors of this church. Whether they've come through just one time or they've been here every week for years or since they were born. They work and they endeavor to pour into your children. There are other people, they're volunteers that work VBS. And others that volunteer and substitute in children's church and things like that. There are people that are working to pour into your kids. But you know what? You may say, "Well, I don't do any of that stuff." Well, let me tell you something. That still don't stop you from hugging a child when they walk in this room. Hugging them appropriately. It doesn't stop you from speaking to some little boy or little girl and maybe learn to play with them a little bit in some way. You know, there's one that comes here, and when he first started coming, I'd say, you want me, I don't pull my finger off, and I pull my finger off, and I do like that. And he'd say, put it back on. And still today, he wants me to put my finger back on, don't he? Yeah. But begin to reach out and minister to the children of our church. Conclusion. Bring them on in, Scott. This is going to be fun. The conclusion. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is the illustration of the impact of practicing sound stewardship. Y'all come on down. Come on down here. Come on down here to see me. Come on down here. Y'all come on down here. Come on down. Just sit down right here. Just sit down right here. Just hang loose there just a minute. Just hang loose. Just hang loose. Y'all hang on down. This is her first time here today, I think, right? Raylan? Is this Raylan? Raylan? Y'all come on down. Just come on down and hang out here with me. Another one of these. Y'all come on down. This is old Curly Ray right here. This is old Hedgehog. Y'all come on down. Come on down. Do y'all, the other ones come on. Come on. Come on, Willa. Come on. Come on. Come on. Y'all come on down here. Come on down. Come on. Brooke, you can come on down. Come on down. Send him on now. Teens. I want the teens. If you are still in school, I want you to come down here. Look what a hairdo. Look at this right here. That right there, that is sharp. That will cut you. Y'all come on back. Here, I'll move back. You can sit right there. Sit right there in the middle. Sit right there in the middle. Y'all come on down here. Here's the conclusion to all of this matter. 2 Timothy, now listen, hey, listen y'all, while y'all been back here in children's church having fun, let me get down here, and talk to you. While y'all been down there, back there in children's church having fun, okay, I've been out here talking to all of them, trying to straighten them out. Okay? Just so y'all know what's going on, okay? Y'all know school starts back this week. Some of y'all homeschooling, I know, and doing some other things. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 illustrates the impact of practicing sound stewardship over the church. Paul said this, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first indwelled in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. You see, we are the stewards. We've had grandmothers, mothers, great-grandmas, Bible school teachers like I talked about in the early on part of this service. Look, man, somebody count and let me know. I can't count and talk at the same time. But here's what I want you to do. Guys, y'all getting ready to go back to school. Woohoo, right? Woohoo, right? We getting ready to go back to school. But listen, you young men and young ladies are going to face stuff like you've never faced before in school. Whether you're in college like Allison or who's in kindergarten? Where's my kindergarten people? Briar and River, kindergarten people. Whether you're in kindergarten or whether you're in college, you're going to face some stuff. But what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to ask all those old people out there to come down here and we're going to pray for you. Okay? So I want some of you old people to come down here. And I want you to just pick out one. It can be yours. It can be somebody else's. We can have multiple people. And we're going to pray for these kids. Because I want every child in this, that's setting up here today, every child, every teenager, I want them to be prayed for. Just move on up. You don't have to be scared. Just move on up. And I just want you to when we get enough people up here, we're just going to lay our hand over on their head or their shoulder, and then we're going to pray for them, okay? And we're just going to believe that God is just going to keep them. After we get done with this prayer, if you work in the school system, if you are a teacher, or you are a homeschool teacher, or you are a nurse in the school, or you are a guidance counselor, anything in school, I want us to pray for you. So right now, I just want you all, Madison, give us a little bit of prayer music there. Can you do that? I'm sorry, I should have told you that earlier. But I just want you to begin to pray for some of these children that are here and teenagers that are here as they go back to school. Let's start praying for them right now. Father, as we come to you today, we just love on you and bless you, and we just praise you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for every one of these children, God, that you are ministering to them in a very special way. I just believe that today, God, that no child in this room, Lord, is going to go untouched, but God, your hand is upon them and you are ministering in every way in their lives. God, I can't imagine the things that they will face in life as children, Lord, but God, and teenagers, God. But Lord, you know, Lord, what they will face. You know what lies within the school year. And we just believe that God today, that you are watching out over them, you are protecting them, and you are blessing them. We believe today that you are leading them and guiding them, and you are ministering into their lives. Lord, may your hand be upon them. May they understand and know and hear the things of the Lord. May they, Lord Jesus, experience you, Lord Jesus, in their lives. Even in a school system that may not be given over to a life faith, even in a school system, Lord, that is not necessarily going to teach them the oracles and the principles of God. Lord, we just pray that you will move in their lives in a very special way. God, today, Lord, as we lay our hands on these young men and these young women, God, we must know that today, Lord, that you are with them, Lord. You desire to bless them, Lord, and to lead them and to guide them, to minister in their lives, Lord Jesus. Today, God. Today, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the gift that is sitting on this step. I thank you for the gift of youth, the gift of student ministries. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for every young person that is in this room today. And God, we just believe, Lord Jesus, that you're blessing them and keeping them, and you are watching out over them, God. Lord, you are ministering in their lives. God, we build that proverbial hedge of protection around them with our prayers today. And we believe, God, that you're ministering. Jesus, this is not our church of tomorrow, Lord. This is our church of today. God, this is not our future. This is our now. And God, we take every one of these young men and young lady, we take them serious and we value them greatly. So God, bless them and keep them. And Lord, may your face shine upon them. And Lord, that they not be consumed by any of the perils of life. Amen. 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 Now I want those that work in the school system to sort of move right here to the center. You don't have to go back to your seats yet, but those that work in the school system, I want you to gather right here in the middle. Pam, I know you work in the school system. Everybody, if you homeschool, coach, come on up here. And all of you that work in the school system, come on up here. Come on up here, Angie. I don't want you to be uncomfortable close, but I want y'all to get close proximity to one another. Okay. This is what I want us to do. Those of you that can and will, I want some people to come up here around this stage with me. I want some people to come up here, circle. Haley, you're homeschooling, aren't you? You get over here. If you're homeschooling or if you're driving a school bus, I want you to be up here. Let Haley get up here, please. Our aides, teachers' aides, anything. You can cook it in the cafeteria. Okay? So everybody that's working in the school system, raise your hand right here so we know. All right. I want us to form a circle. I need some people to come up here. I want some people to come up here with me. We're going to form a circle all the way around these that are working in the school system. And I just want you all to, you don't like holding hands, do you? Okay. I just want us to pray. I just, slide that way, son. I just want us to link all the way around that way. I want us to form a full circle around. You might, yeah, that's okay. That's okay. She's all good that way. She's all good. Form a full circle all around. Y'all hook up with you. And we're not, listen, those of you that work in school, homeschooling, school system, teachers' aides, cafeteria, bus driving, whatever you do. I've been there, been a lot of years since I've done it, but I can't imagine what it's like now. But we're just going to believe that the hand of God is going to be on you in your life in this school year coming up. I believe that you can make a difference in the life of young men and young women. I believe that. I believe you can. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to use you. And we don't believe that God's going to protect you and keep you as well. So everybody that will in the room, let's pray for all of these that work in the school systems and homeschool. Just believe that God's going to bless them. Father, as we come to you, Lord, this church joins hand in hand to form a circle, Lord. We're encircling, Lord, those that work, Lord, within the education system, Lord. And we just believe that today, God, that you are, Lord, just giving them, Lord, everything they need, Lord, to impact the students that they will encounter. I believe that you're making them wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. I believe that you're giving them, you're making their wits quick. They will be quick-witted, Lord. I believe that the Word of God is going to be applied into their lives in every way that it possibly can as they impart into the lives. I pray that, Lord, that they will not only teach, Lord, subject matters like math and English and history, but I pray that, Lord, that somehow, Lord, that they will also indoctrinate young men and young women with the Word of God. Lord, within their own means, within the limitations that have been set upon them, Lord, they will impart unto these boys and girls and students, Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe that today, Lord, that they will look to your word, Lord, to find strength from day to day. I believe that, Lord, that they will pray and they will seek your face, Lord, for guidance, Lord, in all that they do and all that they say. We know that there will be difficult days, Lord. They will have difficult students. Lord, they will deal with difficult parents. But God, I just believe that you, Lord God, are going to give them, Lord, the patience. Lord, you're going to give them, Lord, the calmness that they need, Lord. We speak peace and calmness over their lives in every dilemma, everything they face. Lord, you, Lord, are going to bless them, Lord. This year will be the most productive year. We decree, we declare, Lord, that this year will be the most productive school year that this group of people have ever experienced in their lives, Lord. This will be the year of breakthrough in the lives of their students. Those students, Lord, that have felt unloved will now feel love. Those students that have been difficult, Lord God, Lord, will now come under subjection, Lord Jesus, to the love of God. And Lord, we will see and hear the reports, Lord, of remarkable things that you've done in their classrooms, Lord, today. So God, bless them with wisdom. Bless them with great leadership skills. And Lord, just minister through the schools that they work in, Lord Jesus. And let them, Lord, make a difference in the lives of young men and young women. Lord, for it's all for kingdom's sake and all for your glory and all for your honor. It's all for your praise, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Y'all have been blessed. We just decreed a blessing over you all, okay? And no matter what happens, when y'all start back, most of you start back Wednesday. Tomorrow, when students come back, when, okay. So no matter how heathenistic that boy, little boy is, you remember, you're blessed. You're blessed. You've been blessed. We believe God is blessing you and keeping you, and you're going to be the difference maker in some students' lives. And remember, nothing, you may have just said that. Nothing happens by mistake. Nothing happens by coincidence. God will put you in front of students, I believe with all my heart. God will put you in front of students and students' lives for a reason. Okay? Allow Him to use you. God bless. Let's give all these teachers and our students a big hand.